In Washington politics, the aftermath of a bitter election doesn't quite lead to a period of moonlight and roses. While the transition teams go about their work, the new administration will need to do a lot of work to ensure its Senate-confirmed nominees have a shot. Joining me with more on the difficulties ahead, D.C. attorney and former prosecutor Steve Ryan, a partner at McDermott, Will & Emery. And Steve, it's probably safe to say that even whatever happens tonight, tomorrow is not going to begin a period of great, there's no love fest happening.
Well, we may sing kumbaya, but we don't seem to mean it as a nation. So I agree with you, Tom.
And so the big job will be the nominees, who they are, and then getting them through a Senate that's going to be likely to be very, very close.
Right. The Senate, you know, the Senate complexion is going to be the same as it is now in the sense that neither party has 60 votes. If you had 60 votes, you could jam through the nominees if it was your party. And if you had 60 votes and they weren't your nominees, you could reject them easily if you're in the other party. We're going to be, obviously, again, in the same nether region where you have more than 50 in one of the two parties, although the Senate is not clear yet and won't be until tomorrow, as to who controls the Senate. So let's talk about what control means. Control means that the party that wins 50 or 51 can actually schedule the hearings that it wants or delay the hearings that it wants. It can take the floor votes that it wants or at least schedule the floor votes until somebody filibusters. And so having control of the Senate, even by a small margin, actually is an enormous advantage depending on how you look at it.
Now, with respect to judicial nominees, the rules have changed in the Senate under Harry Reid such that you don't need that 60 votes to jam through not Supreme Court judges, but everybody else. Any chance that one side could say, well, we did it for non-Supreme Court judicial nominees. How about for cabinet nominees?
Well, for cabinet nominees, here's the historical pattern, right? The historical pattern is even in a close election and even in a bitterly fought election, generally, the president was allowed to name his cabinet unless he, and it's always been a he until now, nominated someone who was either, you know, slovenly or crippled or about whom controversy arose. So you had John Tower, Secretary of Defense, being rejected in the Bush administration by a Democratic Senate as an example. But there's no precedent for what happened to Judge Garland's nomination for the Supreme Court. So all bets are off coming into this confirmation process. Whether the presumption that the Senate has always had that the president was entitled largely to the nominees that they sent up, you know, the question is, will that presumption be there?
Right. And also, there have been some instances in recent administrations, I think even in Bill Clinton, a couple of his nominees were even a little bit too much for some Democrats. But that seems like less likely to happen now, too.
Well, you had Harriet Woods in the second Bush administration, who was nominated by the president and was the very good friend of the president. She got mau-mau'd by the Republicans themselves. And so... In the Democratic administration with Clinton, you had Zoe Baird and you had
Lonnie Guinier,
who never made it to a vote. So that happens. And in other words, there's a process and, you know, one or more cabinet posts may become controversial and for good or for no good reason. That said, you know, there's a bitterness to the activity now. And the ghost of Senator Bennett is always there. And what I mean by the ghost of Senator Bennett is that I think there's a lot of pressure on Republican senators to oppose Democratic nominees. I think there's less of that pressure on the Democrats. And Senator Bennett was the one who Senator Lee beat from the right. And all Republican senators live in fear of a primary where they're beaten on the right. And that has a force and effect on Republican behavior in the Senate. So that even very reasonable Republican senators have to really consider the difficulty of each of the votes to confirm.
We're speaking with Steve Ryan, a partner at McDermott, Will & Emery, former federal prosecutor. And what about the nominees that are below the top line cabinet level? Because even sometimes some of those run into trouble.
Sure. Well, you know, look, undersecretaries and deputy secretaries actually run the department. You know, that's a very important role. So your level two and level three appointees, two being the deputy secretary, three the undersecretaries, those are very important positions as well. And then, of course, you get all of the level fours, which are the assistant secretaries. So if you want to run the government, you have to get all those people in place. And we have some structural impediments now. I mean, we have to get everybody through a code word or top secret clearance, and that takes months. You have to pick the people, and that takes a little while. You have to have the secretary have some say in who their people might be. You know, the White House may have people it wants at every department, but the you know, you have to have the courtesy of working with the secretary so that some of the secretary's picks are his own or her own versus just all the White House people. So you have a very complex structure to get through. And my fear is that we won't have manned the new administration 1 year in, that we'll be sitting on January 20th, 2018, and not everybody will be confirmed because of a broken or difficult confirmation process.
And how do the elect, so to speak, establish their presidential personnel groups, and where do they fit into the whole picture?
Well, you know, that's up and running already. You know, there's a data bank of the resumes for the level fours. There's some thought about who's going to which department. I mean, you know, you can begin to name people who might be in President Clinton's cabinet. On the Trump side, it's less clear. Obviously, Christie, Giuliani, and Gingrich have been his three most out there surrogates. The Clintons will have to make the same choices. Some people may be too controversial, and they go to the White House staff. Then, you know, you have to place them somewhere where they don't have to seek confirmation.
And we should comment, too, on the difficulty of being a nominee, whether you are Senate confirmed or otherwise. The process has gotten really, really long. You touched on that with the security clearance question, but there's a lot more to it than simply security clearance.
Well, and then you go through, first of all, there's the paper process for the new administration, which is very extensive. And all of the questions around the last question on the questionnaire, is there any reason that your nomination might embarrass the president? And the delving into that and the concern that White House and transition staff have to have that they're going to have somebody who goes off like a grenade in the process. But then the Senate process itself has become very painful. The questionnaire and paperwork, they're often quite extensive. Literally, there'll be hundreds of questions that will be sent to the nominee in writing to be responded to in writing. And while they can draw on departmental resources for that from the new administration, you know, it takes time and it takes effort and it seems never ending. So the transition process itself has become much more painful and laborious. And I really am very concerned about the lack of goodwill that we start out with on this election, no matter who the president will be.
Steve Ryan is a partner at McDermott, Will & Emery. Thanks, Steve, and we'll probably have you on again when we know a little bit more about the outcome and we can get a clearer picture of what the outlook is at that point.
That'd be a delight, Tom. Thanks so much for having me.
We'll post this interview along with all of our pre- and post-election coverage at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.